Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in once again to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I'm your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it is my pleasure and my delight to be with you. If this is your first time tuning into the show, thank you so much. If you're listening on the internet and you want to call in to the show, the call-in number is 1-347-826-7543. If you're in the chat room, we thank you very much for being in the chat room. And if you want to post a question, just type it in and we'll be able to get your question and come back to you later in the show. I have a special guest tonight who is holding to come on the line with us, and her name is Evangelist Candace Freeman. Now, Evangelist Freeman is an author. She's a mother. She has an awesome story to tell from tragedy to triumph, and I don't want to keep her on holding any longer, so I'm going to bring her on, and you get to meet and hear the wonderful story of how her life has transformed. I want you all to meet Candace Freeman. Candace, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello, Evangelist. How are you?
I'm fine. How is you? How are you?
I am wonderful, wonderful. I am so excited about the show tonight, and I'm so glad that you were able to join us, and thank you for being on the Issues Concerning Women radio show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here. Bless God for being here. I thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to just jump right in, and I want you to tell everybody about your book, give them the title, and when did you write it, and a little bit about why you wrote the book.
Oh, well, the title of the book is Broken and Rebuilt for the Kingdom. I began to write the book in 2009. The book tells the story of how, by the grace of God, the help of God, I have been able to overcome many issues that try us today, as far as like child molestation, domestic violence, rape, teenage pregnancy, drug and alcohol addiction. It deals with many issues that a lot of people would rather just sweep up under the rug instead of deal with, you know. But by the grace of God, I was able to come to a point where I chose to live and not die. And in 2009, in the midst of what I call my mess, I went home to Gary, Indiana, to visit my mom. And during that time, she was fellowshipping with an apostle Randolph in the city of Gary, Indiana. And he does a thing, the Power Hour, every Monday. And she took me to Power Hour that Monday, and the apostle had a lot of things, you know, from God to give to me that day. And he spoke a lot of things into my life. And, you know, as far as me recording a CD, face on the cover of magazines, but he said something that really stuck, you know. He said, and one day you'll write a book. You know, and of course, when we, you know, we hear the prophecy, we don't really, we're so high in the spirit, you know, at the time, because, you know, we're being delivered from some things, and a lot of things are happening when we're being spoken to. But that kind of stuck with me, and I, at the same time, didn't really pay it no attention. And at that time, I was living in the city of Dalton, Georgia, attending Dalton State College, pursuing my degree in criminal justice. And a lot of time, I was able to speak in class. Coming home, speaking class, and my professor would ask me, one day he just asked me out of the blue after I spoke to the class, Candace, have you ever thought about writing a book? You know, and I was like, whoa. That right there was confirmation for me.
Absolutely. Yes,
you know, that was confirmation for me. So I didn't hesitate. I got right on top of, I just began to write, you know. Reminisce, recollect, you know, everything that I had been through in my life and every place, every situation that God had brought me out of, every place that he had his hand in my survival, I just began to write and pray, write and pray, write and pray, you know. So that's how Broken and Rebuilt had come into existence.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Now, you talked about you were in college and now, from out of what had happened to you earlier in life, some of the things that you talked about was the rape and incest and drug addiction. And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, so make sure I don't want to, you know, say anything that's not true. Now, you are still a young woman.
I'm 34. At that time, I was
31, yeah. Okay, great. And so all of this was happening to you when you were relatively young. So when did all of those bad things start to happen? Or do you remember when they started, or do you have any recollection of when they started, or about what age you were?
The thing about, and it's amazing because I've heard over and over, it's amazing how, you know, much I remember for things to have begun at an early age. So I was molested, first of all, starting at the age of 3, and that's when the molestation started. I was molested again, and that lasted for a few years. I was molested again at the age of 11 by a cousin. I experienced a statutory rape situation at the age of 13 when I got pregnant with my son. He's now 20 years old. So I'm 34 with a 20-year-old who is my heart. I love my son to death. I love him with all my heart. So I got pregnant at the age of 13 and had him when I was 14. Again, I experienced rape again when I was 16. Again, at the age of 21, I've been married. I got married when I was 21, but a little bit prior to me getting married, I had been raped. So, and then during the marriage, you know, I dealt with domestic violence and even being married to a man that felt like he had to take it, you know. So, I can go back as far as 3 years old. I started smoking marijuana when I was 7, alcohol and cocaine when I was between the ages of 14 and 16, and carried those addictions with me until approximately 2005.
Okay. Ooh. Now that's a lot, you know, and I don't want to dwell on that because you've been healing from that, but I kind of wanted to go back to when it started so that people can kind of know. When we say that it was a tragedy and then you triumphed from it, you know, where it started and where it has led you to now. Because now, you know, fast forwarding to the birth of your son, now, did you have help when your son was born, or were you kind of like on your own, or how did that work out for you?
When we found out that I was pregnant with my son, my mom was there. I was living at home with my mother. And at the time of even me finding out I was pregnant, my mom was supportive in the beginning, you know. She was there in the beginning. But just the let me go back a little bit before I got pregnant. My sister, I had a sister that had dealt with teenage pregnancy, and she lost her first child. And then 9 months later, she was pregnant again, you know. And my, I'm doing this, I'm saying this because my mom, she had to, she was there the whole time, you know, being supportive of her daughters and helping us through that. And then here it is, her youngest. I am the youngest of her four children, you know.
Okay.
And here it is, her baby is pregnant, and she's like, okay. And then a lot of things was going through, you know, she was going through a lot, so... She was there for a little while. I say when Nathaniel was 6 months old, she left. She left us in the city and state where we were living at, and she couldn't handle it. She couldn't deal with it. Today, I understand. Mm-hmm. Back then, I couldn't understand, but today
right,
I understand.
Right.
You know, it was too much for her to handle. She was dealing with things in her own personal life, you know, as a wife and things of that nature. So she took off and returned back to our home state and our home city. And that's when the suicidal thoughts and the suicidal attempts came into play, because here I am 14 years old with a six-month-old son in a city where mm-hmm. there's no one. You know, you, of course, you see you got the church family and things of that nature, but even when things like that happen, you know, people begin to get deep on you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look at the situation of things or how things happen instead of helping with the solution. So I really didn't have anybody, and like I said, 14 with a six-month-old son, I didn't know what to do. So my thing was, I can't do this. I couldn't handle it, you know, suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But we ended up in foster care and going through the whole system of that, you know. So.
Okay. So that's kind of where I wanted to, you know, get you to. How did you survive? Because at 14, you're still a child yourself. Legally
mm-hmm.
and thinking like a child, but being treated as a woman because you're able to, you know, go through the things that women go through, you know, and have a baby, you know.
Exactly.
So, but you're still a child, and yeah, and then not knowing what you're supposed to do next, because I'm sure every day that's what you were thinking, you know, what am I going to do next? How am I going to finish school? So now I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you went to college, so. Evidently, you did finish high school through while you were with your foster parents. Is that how that went?
Yeah, we stayed in our state for a little while in that state, so in the foster system. Ended up back at home, and in foster care at home. I dropped out, but I was able to go back to school.
Great.
And graduate high school in '97. I did attend Purdue University Calumet for a little while, so do it all. Some pieces was picked up, some was dropped, some was picked up.
That's okay.
That's
still,
all a part of
you survived.
The
that's right.
Exactly. It's part of
you
the
survived.
Testimony. You know,
mm-hmm. You're a survivor, absolutely. Because when I was reading about your story, I was like, okay, I can't tell anything because I want her to tell it. You know, but you know how we are. You know, like you know, I'm called what they call newsy, you know. That's no, ain't nothing but nosy, you know. So, you know. And I was like, I gotta let her tell it, you know. It's her story. So you know, so you made it through that, and now your son. Of course, you had to get him through school as well as yourself, you know. So I'm sure that wasn't an easy time for you, you know.
Well, the thing with him is, at some point in time, I lost custody of my son. When I turned 18, I thought I was like grown and I can handle
mm-hmm.
it, and I was tired of the system, you know. So I ran away, which showed that I wasn't fit to be a mother according to the state of Indiana, and they took my parental rights away. And of course, for a while I fought for him, but nothing
mm-hmm.
because I didn't have a sense of who I was, you know, a sense of stability, you know, the sense of knowing how to handle responsibility. I was never able to get into the position that they wanted me to be in. So, and I got frustrated. You know, tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
I got frustrated with trying. And I gave up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
mm-hmm.
gave up. And I thank God for my father, because when I gave up, he stepped in. And he adopted my son. He raised my son. He got my son through school. You know, my
mm-hmm.
son just graduated. Nathaniel just graduated this past May. A high school, all eyes against him, you know,
oh,
as well.
Wonderful.
But bless God, he was
mm-hmm.
able to make it through school. I thank God for his coverage, his protection. I thank God
mm-hmm.
for a father that stood up and, you know, took on that responsibility of raising my son for me. So.
Oh, great. That is wonderful. Because we all, you know, we always hear, you know, the what I call the outside of the story, but we don't really know the insides, you know, because, and that's what I wanted you to kind of share a little bit of that, because we do all need help. And the reason why I was talking about that, because when we talk about these things that we go through, we all need help. And
yeah.
all the time there's not somebody that can help you, or even somebody who knows how to help you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see those people, those people that don't get talked about, we, you know, I always like to try to bring them in so that we can get the big picture, you know,
yeah.
to know that you needed help, and you needed somebody to help you. And that's why I do what I do. You know, I can't save the whole world, but if I can just help one woman, you know, or one young lady, and talk them through some things and help them to move forward, then that's what I do.
Exactly.
And I don't take any credit for it, but that's why I do what I do. And, of course, you know, we all have our own stories, but with you, I am so, so proud of you. I don't know you. This is our first time really talking, but
mm-hmm.
I wanted to say I'm so proud of you. I'm so
Thank
proud
you.
That of everything that you've done, and that you did not succeed in trying to end your life, and that
mm-hmm.
you, even though you, everything that you have went through, we can understand why you would want to go that way, you know.
Yeah.
And that being that you, you know, didn't have any support, you know, and that's the other thing I'd like to talk about, too, because we all need that support system, you know,
mm-hmm.
no matter what we're going through. We need those that are able to put themselves aside and reach out and help. But a lot of times, even in a church family, they don't even know how to help you, because you mentioned that, you know.
Yeah.
They don't really know how to help these young girls, you know, who are getting pregnant, because all they're teaching them is you don't get pregnant, you don't have sex, you don't
exactly.
do drugs, you don't, you know, you keep your legs crossed, your ankles crossed, and
yeah.
you're a lady. But okay.
Exactly.
All right, but we have to deal with the real facts. We all have
exactly.
feelings. We, you know, we all go through things. We get ourselves in situations. And, you know I was 14 at one time, and I know I had different kind of feelings about all kinds of things, you know, and my mind
mm-hmm.
was just crazy, you know. But
yeah.
I had my mom and dad there to, you know, kind of, my dad was really strict, so I couldn't do a whole lot of things that I wanted to do or thought I was grown enough to do, because I was scared of my dad, you know. So, but
mm-hmm.
still, when I got the chance to speak out, I did, and I did do some stuff. So I know, you know, that my situation may be totally different from yours, but I do understand, you know, how you may have felt alone and didn't have anybody. But I just wanted to say that I'm so very proud of you. And the walk that you decided to take, and walking in God's path that He has ordained for you, and then being able to tell the story, because there are so many women who cannot tell it, you
mm-hmm.
know. Even in this day and time, they'll go to their grave with so many of their secrets, and that's why they can never fully heal. But
exactly.
I thank God for you, you know, and I thank God that you want to share your story. So now let's get back on track. you made it through all of that
yeah.
with your dad's help, and you went through college, and you decided to write the book. But what led you to share the story? Because that's the part I wanted to get to today.
Like you said, a lot of women go through life with these situations and these burdens, you know, heaviness, you know, life, and don't
mm-hmm.
they don't ever talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, and you mentioned, like, it never having that support or that help, you know. But my thing is, like, I appreciate God for putting me in this situation, because now I thank Him for giving me the boldness. I thank Him for helping me to be transparent, because I want to help that girl. You know,
mm-hmm.
those women that feel like there's no hope for them, there's no way out, how do they relieve the burden, how do they get past. You know, God has placed me in a position where I can become transparent enough to
mm-hmm.
let people see everything that I've been through, not just the bad that other people played in my life, but the bad that I played in my own life. The only
mm-hmm.
thing, all the things that I did and I had my hands in that caused detriment to my life as well. You know, I'm even speaking on them, those things as well, because, yeah, these things happen, but I did some things as well. And that puts me in a place where I'm being transparent. I want you to be able to see through me, see everything that I've done, everything I've been through, because I want to be able to help that girl. And that's what brought me to the book, you know, and being able to write the book. Because at first I didn't understand. I had no understanding. God, why do I have to write this book? You know, mm-hmm. why has this mandate been placed on me? And then, and when I began to cry out to God to get that answer, that's why you got to be careful. You got to be
yes.
careful of what you ask God to do and God to reveal to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prepare yourself for what he's going to tell you, because I was not. But when he came and told me the reason for me, I was like, I was thrilled. And the Spirit of the Lord came and told me, it's not even about you.
Right.
Nothing you've went through,
mm-hmm.
nothing you've gone through, and nothing that you've experienced has nothing to even do with you. When
mm-hmm.
I say I was thrown, you mean to tell me that I was raped? It had nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was hooked on drugs and alcohol. It had nothing to do with me. You
mm-hmm.
know, I brought a child into this world and I lost my child. Nothing to do with me. No, it has nothing to do with you. But it has everything to do with you being transparent, standing before my people, and allowing me to see my glory.
Amen.
Allowing me to reveal myself to them. Because somebody out there is going through all these things and don't even believe that there's a God.
Absolutely.
But you're
going to
stand
Absolutely.
Before these women, and you're going to prove to these women who I am. You're going to show these
mm-hmm.
women who I am and how I got you here, so they can know that I'm going to get them over theirs as well.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm here
that
today.
Is.
That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with Evangelist Candace. This has nothing to do with me. Nothing
mm-hmm.
to do about my,
Absolutely.
You know, I can share my healing process, but it
mm-hmm.
has nothing to do with me. If I can touch,
mm-hmm.
like you said, if I can touch one out of 20, because the word
mm-hmm.
tells us that, one to put
oh,
how
yeah.
many, and two would do what?
Two would say, yeah,
exactly.
absolutely.
So if
they,
I can
yeah.
touch one
mm.
that would take the message and
yeah.
spread it to another, you know,
mm-hmm.
then I've done what God has told me. I've been obedient to the Spirit of God. You know, I'm not, regardless, if it puts shame to people, I'm sorry, but
mm-hmm.
if it puts shame to one person to where 500 will get healed, set free, delivered,
yeah.
then that's what God has called and ordained me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm here to
Absolutely.
Do. So I
Absolutely.
Thank God for the testimony. I thank God for the trials. I thank him for the test, the hurt, the pain, the crying in the middle of the night, not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I thank him for all that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because that's going to set somebody else free.
Absolutely. We did have a call on the line from 918. If you want to call back in, that would be fine, and we'll take your question or your comment. We appreciate all those who are listening in chat room and listen to this story of what Candace had to go through and where she is now, standing on her faith and believing God for everything that he has promised her. And she is walking in faith, and this is what I love about the God that we serve, you know, because he has forgiven you for everything.
Mm-hmm.
that happened, you know, before.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, you know, put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Girl, we on the radio,
thank
and I don't want to even go there because, y'all, you know I will go there. But and he has covered it with his blood.
Yes.
And made it possible for you to continue to live your life. And, I have to applaud you and to say that through everything that you've done is for God's glory, and he gets the glory, and he is so proud, and he's smiling today, and
yes,
anybody that's listening, and if they want to get your book, how do they do? Give us the name of your book again and tell them how they can get your book.
Well, the name of the book is Broken and Rebuilt for the Kingdom, and I'm Candace L. Freeman. You can hit me up on Facebook. On my Twitter is @CLFreeman. You get in contact with me that way. In the beginning stages, I want to be able to connect with the people. You know, it's just not about
mm-hmm.
selling a book. Just
right.
know that it's not about selling a book, but it's about saving lives. That's why I am right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just to reiterate
yes.
on anybody that's thinking that it's not possible for you, it is possible for you. God has a plan. The word of God says before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. You know, so God
mm-hmm.
has a plan. And even for those ones that's having, you know, that's, I want to just share this real quick. My mother
sure.
and I, because I did say I brought her in, you know, I wanted you to know a little
mm-hmm.
bit about that support system. My mother
sure.
and I love each other today more than ever. Our relationship
mm-hmm.
today is a close bond, and not just a mother and daughter, but it's sisters in Christ, you know.
Yes.
And I thank God
Amen.
For even that, because we display together what God intends for us to know about love, you know,
mm-hmm.
about forgiveness, You know, so yes. I just want, if my mom, if she's listening, Evangelist Leslie Robinson of Gary, Indiana, I love you, Mom. That's my wife. Because I have to say
that's
this.
Right.
At some point in time, Pastor, she planted a seed in my life. You know, I just didn't wake up, you know, at 31 years old and say, boom, here's God in my life, and boom, I know God. That's not what happened. At some point in time, my mother, she told me who Jesus was. She told me that there was somebody that loved me, regardless, in spite of, and in addition to, she planted that foundation, that seed in my life. So even when I was out there on drugs, I knew that I can go to the rock. You know, when I was somewhere depressed and sad and ready to kill myself, I knew that even if I couldn't open my mouth, I can just think about the goodness of Jesus, and that will bring me to. So I just wanted to say that little bit. I love my mother.
Oh, absolutely, and that is awesome. I'm so happy to hear that because sometimes we, and as we know, because of your healing, because of where you are now, and you've forgiven and forgiven yourself. You've forgiven all those who have hurt you in the past. Even you forgive those who even still now look at you funny and, you know, squinting their eyes at you. We know you've done all of that because that God would not have allowed you to come this far if you hadn't done those things.
Exactly.
You know? And we also know that it's still your testimony is going to go on and on and on because you lived through that. But you also have your son. Now, I want to ask you real quick, because we only got about 3 minutes now, how is the relationship between you and your son now that he's a grown man? You know, he's 20 years old.
Yeah. I love my baby. You know, he's a mama's boy. He loves, you know, he takes nothing from me being his mother. You know, he takes nothing from the sacrifice that was made for him to be here. He's a mama's boy. He don't have no problem letting anybody know that he loves his mother. You know, when you see us together, he's right there by my side, and I just want to let him know. And I did a last part of my book is dedicated to him, apologizing, you know, for the things, for me not even being there, you know, and being the mother that he needed. But today I'm the mother that he deserves, and he's the son that I deserve. And I love Nathaniel Terry. I love you, baby. You know, we're fine. I love that.
Good.
That's my man right there. That's my big man.
I know,
you know.
That's right.
that is my big
awesome.
Man.
Yes. So I know that it's a lot more that we could talk about. I know that. Now, are you still married? Because I wanted to ask.
I am not.
You're not. Okay.
I am not.
And that's fine. Yeah. Okay. And because we want to end on a high note, you know, and I just wanted to ask if you were still married, but you know, I applaud you for just being who you are, and I look forward to having you on my show again because
Amen.
We just skimmed the surface of your, you know, of your life because we can't get 34 years in, you know, in a 30-minute segment on the radio show, but
yes.
I did want you to come on, and if there's anything I can do to help you, any of the programs that I know that you'll probably be starting, because if you're just not writing the book, it's some other things that you're going to need to do, so I am here for you. Just let me know what it is that you need from me, and I'm willing to help, and I definitely want to come to Atlanta. We talked about that.
Yes.
And maybe we can put some kind of program together for the young ladies there, you know, so
yes.
I'm all about that. I love to just extend that olive branch to you. And I wanted to thank you for allowing me to share your story with my audience tonight. And thank you so very, very much, Candace. And we got a minute, so I'm going to let you close it out. And whatever you want to say, if you want to give a word of encouragement to a sister who's going through something or a prayer, whatever you want to do, you can do that now.
I just want to encourage every young lady, every woman that's listening out there that's going through anything, any circumstance, any situation, just know that he is God. And he is God alone. He has the power to do above and exceedingly above any and everything that you hope that he can do. I appreciate you, woman of God, for extending this time to me and for me. I thank you for just opening up this door for me. And I end in a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we thank you for this time, oh God. We thank you for this opportunity, oh God. We thank you for every woman that's listening, oh God. Touch each individual, oh God, in their own space at their own time, Father God. Heal, set free, and deliver, oh God. Give them a spirit of love and forgiveness, oh God, like never before. God, we thank you for just being God and God alone. These things we ask in your precious Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You are listening to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Allen Humphrey. We have come to the end of our show. I had a marvelous guest on tonight. Thank you so much, Evangelist Freeman. I want to stay in contact with you. And if there's anything I can do, just let me know. For my listening audience, thank you so much. You guys are the best. You all rock. I love you all. And I'll be back next Thursday at 8:30. Oh, no, I won't. It's Thanksgiving. But I'll talk to you soon. Love you all. God bless. Bye-bye.